You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are talking about how to run effective meetings even if you're just a participant. Many people hate meetings because lots of the meetings that we are attending are not well structured, not good run, and lead very often to nothing or to something inconclusive or not really a clear achievement. Also, very often there are far too many people invited and you're not really sure what you are delivering here. So today we are talking about a couple of questions and also some other considerations how to make meetings effective. You probably know already a couple of these, but maybe this is also a reminder to now actually do and implement these different things so that you have more time being effective and that you're not wasting so much time in meetings anymore. If you want to get further tips, then join the Effective Statistician LinkedIn group or follow me on LinkedIn. Also, it would be awesome if you could tell your colleagues about this podcast because we want to make as many statisticians as effective as possible. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the really fastly growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of the Effective Statistician, and this time again, it's with my co-host Benjamin. How are you doing?
Thanks. Very well, Alexander. How are you?
Very, very good. Today we are recording again in the evening. It's a really, really nice summer evening. It's pretty hot outside, but not too hot. So it's a perfect time to record.
Yeah, actually, it's almost start of the vacation, the summer vacation for at least in my area. So it's a perfect day for that. So
yeah. And from that, you can see kind of how much kind of in advance we are recording here. So that gives you a little bit of a hint of how our buffer in the editorial calendar looks like.
It depends on the area where you live in, because some areas start really late. So probably when this is being broadcasted.
So the topic of today is not about the weather and not about vacation. It's about probably the most hated thing in corporate and maybe even beyond. It's meetings. So what do you think when you think about meetings? What's your first associations?
Well, there are a lot of them. So actually, I wouldn't say it's the most hated one. It's probably the most useful one in a way. But my first idea about meetings is always there are too many.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that actually is one of the difficulties that we are discussing today is, if people have the feeling that it's a waste of time because it's just too many. So it's basically blocking you from doing your work.
Yeah,
so too many. Sometimes feel
too many, and lots of them badly conducted, and therefore you waste an enormous amount of time. On the other hand, if you have really well conducted meetings, you can get actually quite a lot done.
That's true, and also the whole picture of meetings is currently changing, at least so from what I experienced in the last month. So being just having a lot more video meetings, so a lot more different types of meetings, day-to-day meetings, things that you usually would do in the office. So it's kind of having, it's a bigger variety overall of meetings that I've experienced lately, basically due to the fact that people are, you know, sent home and working from home. So this has a completely different way of being part of our day-to-day work life.
Yeah. Do you know what one of the funny things about a meeting is? These meetings are quite an investment. Yeah. If you think about a meeting where, let's say, there's 20 people in the room. Yeah. And each of these, don't know, has an average hourly rate of, let's say, 150 euros.
Can stop
it's,
here.
You know, it's actually quite an investment, yeah? And if you think about the amount, you know, for that amount, usually you need to go up quite high to actually get that approved. But anybody can call a meeting, yeah? And invite lots of different people, and nobody is asking for that.
If you don't want to know how often I sat in a meeting, just going through, scrolling through lists and seeing so how much it costs the minute. I fully agree. It's sometimes you feel like some people probably don't say a word at all in these meetings because there's just too many people and too many that haven't been asked or just been invited and they attend, but actually they are doing their emailing and stuff. So that's why probably it's not a waste of time for them or a waste of money because they're finally have a, you know, quiet time to do their job. But yeah, no, I fully agree. It's everyone can, you know, even if it's like 5, 6, 7 yeah. people in there, and it's a really expensive exercise to do a meeting.
So when we actually start to think about a meeting, and before we get an invite or accept an invite or go to a meeting, send out an invite, I think there's a couple of things before the meeting that you need to think about to get to an effective meeting. And the first thing is, what is the goal that you want to achieve with the meeting? Yeah. So what needs to be different after the meeting than before the meeting? Yeah. So I think that's a really, really important thing to have in mind. And sometimes that directly then leads to the question, oh, I don't need that meeting. Maybe I can do that via a different thing. Yeah, maybe it's just writing a longer email, or maybe, you know, some, you know, a phone call, yeah, or something like this. Yeah,
just a phone call or something. Yeah,
that is really important. Also, if you know the goal of the meeting, yeah, and are really crisp about that, not something kind of completely vague, then you are also much easier to set an agenda, have the right people to on the invitation list, clear on all the other items that make an effective meeting. And so, like with any other communication, and a meeting is a communication tool, you need to be clear about the outcome. So if you think about kind of the typical meetings that we are all invited to, what do you think are the kind of typical goals for these meetings?
Well, the typical goals are to find something to do, have a goal. No, I'm kidding. But this is kind of what the weird thing about meetings often is, that it's just a plan to gather people together to identify a goal or to identify, you know, the next steps. Or, I mean, this could be a goal for a meeting, but actually it's not well planned, because if it's too wide, if the goal for a meeting isn't really clear, and as you said, it isn't crisp, then, you know, you rather start inviting people just to get an idea. Maybe, you know, somebody else has an idea. Could we maybe get together? And so there are different meetings. So you could do this in a team meeting, for example, if it's about really getting feedback from different people and just, you know, getting everyone together because it's a team. So as a team meeting. So then that's fine. But if you have a really background idea of what it is this whole meeting is about, then that is what I do miss quite often, is very clear setting in terms of having an idea of, you know, you need this, there's an agenda, there's an end of the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, this is what we would like to achieve.
Mm. So one of the kind of most boring meetings I attended during my career are these, I would say, maybe typical study team meetings. Yeah, so there is lots of people that work on a study, and they all get together in a weekly call to speak about the study. Yeah. And then you have all kind of topics discussed in there. Yeah. From recruitment updates about kind of what is the feedback from ERBs to CRF issues to statistical analysis plan to whatsoever. Yeah, all kind of different random things that can come up on the study. And then you have all the people in there that could potentially be affected. Yeah, from data management to clinical operations, physicians, medical writers, statisticians, all kind of different people that you know, are involved in studies. And I found these probably one of the most boring meetings, because very often it's then driven by lots of clinical operations. Yeah. Where, you know, oh, there's a site that is not responding. Oh, they, you know, we need to follow up there. Who's doing the follow up there? Okay. Next site. How's the recruitment going at that site? Oh, okay. That's going fine. Okay. Next site.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree that this kind of detail for each of the departments will be too much for the other ones. But I think in general, if a meeting is well planned, we still could get a lot of things out of this.
Yeah.
Such a like cross-functional meeting, which will be useful for everyone. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, team spirit, a lot of people knowing what's going on and having interaction with the different departments. So it is important to understand what their concerns are.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see here much more as a problem is that the meeting is not well set up in a way of, you know, having an agenda, somebody driving this and giving really good aspects or items to discuss. And on the other hand, it's quite often not very well prepared from the people that are attending.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a clear goal set to give an update on clinical operations for the whole study team, then they shouldn't discuss, you know, details of a site level, but they should give an update within 2 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. But for that, they need to be prepared. So they need to prepare something to present to everyone in a way of making them understood what the key problems or the key drivers for the current work on answer, et cetera, is. And that goes for everyone. I mean, it's not about clinical. This is for every department. And I think there's a lot of, a lot of power that we could bring or take from a meeting, and it is completely wasted.
Yeah. And it's really important to have the sense of right people on the bus. Yeah. So if you're clear about the goal, so let's say you want to discuss the draft tables or something like this. Yeah. Then you know who has provided comments, who needs to give input, is there any, you know, that you need to resolve any kind of conflicting comments, stuff like that. And then you can have, you know, go through exactly these kind of topics to get, you know, final agreement and clear out all the different comments. That's a nice meeting to have. Yeah, or if you want to discuss about, okay, a specific, don't know, what kind of subgroup analysis you need or stuff like that. That's also a specific topic, and then you have a clear goal in mind. So then you also are clear who will contribute. Yeah, and that is really important. So, yeah. And don't invite people just because they need to know. Yeah, so just to need to know, that's then probably better to kind of send them the minutes afterwards, yeah, or the updated document or whatever, but not invites them to the meeting just to listen to the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's maybe to go back to your example is that, you know, if you have 10 people from clinical invited in such a meeting, I mean, they easily get into details of no interest for anyone else. And that's the same for programming team or for the statisticians. So that's why it's not only so who will contribute, it's also then who to invite. Yeah. Because why should we invite in a meeting people that don't contribute or shouldn't be contributing? Because it's not the goal of the meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I see that it's sometimes kind of you have these political invites. Yeah, so to make sure that people feel included and they can't derail the things thereafter. Yeah, I can see that. And then you have a clear reason for that. Yeah, so you want to make sure that people know about the background and, you know, if you haven't included them in the discussion, they will kind of work against the outcome of the meeting thereafter. But then, that's a clear goal, yeah. So it's you're clear on that. It's also kind of if maybe you want to have someone, you know, later that talks in favor of your outcome, yeah. So maybe you want to have some kind of key stakeholders in there, yeah. So by including them, they have a stake in it, and then it's much easier to move forward with the process. There's, you know, certain considerations that can happen there, but being really clear on that. And it's always kind of also how big the meeting needs to be, you know? So if it becomes too big, then maybe it's better to split the topic and the goal of the meeting into smaller parts so that the meeting is actually something that becomes manageable. Yeah, if you have more than, don't know, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 people in a meeting, it's very, very easily becomes much more kind of a broadcast meeting rather than really a discussion, especially when it's virtual.
Yeah. Yes, and don't think that, you know, if you plan with 20 people for 1 hour, that you know, it's the same as if you take 10 in 1 half-hour meeting and another 10 in half-hour meeting. You probably are far more effective working in 2 split sessions with 30 minutes than you would with the whole crowd in 1 hour. So that's why it's be wise in deciding so how long you set up a meeting and how many people you invite.
Yeah. So, and actually you can have 2 meetings, both 1 hour with 10 people, which amounts to the same cost as 1 meeting with 20 people.
And it's much more.
In terms of that actually directly leads into the next topic. How long does a meeting need to be? You know, I think we are very often just driven by the standard setup of whatever standard setup in Outlook, yeah, whether it's half an hour or whatsoever. And I found it quite interesting whenever, for example, I get an invite for a meeting from Lucy Roll, I get, you know, these 40 minutes or these kind of invites. So she really thinks about, okay, what is a good timing for that? Yeah. And it's not just 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, whatever you need to discuss. It's much more kind of thought into.
Yeah. And it's also that some agenda items are not like 50 minutes, 50 minutes, 50 minutes, but 12 minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, it's really like breaking down into really way with where people just, you know, thought about what time do I really need to discuss this? I mean, it's usually not very well working, but that brings me to another point of having somebody, you know, responsible for, you know, timekeeping and things like this in a meeting, to just, you know, have an eye on whether the agenda is followed or loose topic or and the time is followed. But it's not about, you know, 1 hour, half hour, anything. It's really about what time do I need.
Yeah. And actually, when you get an invite with, we need 35 minutes for this meeting, you think about it completely differently than if, you know, all these meeting invites of 1 hour. Yeah. So if you have a kind of recurring meetings, and very often that's, you know, an hour or so. Yeah. But for this kind of one-off meetings, it's quite nice to think about that. And even, you know, if you have a recurring meeting, if you are done with the agenda, stop. Yeah. I find this kind of sentence, okay, we're done. We give you 20 minutes back into your calendar. Awesome. Awesome. Just great. Yeah.
Finally, the coffee.
Yeah. Oh, you have back-to-back meetings. Oh, finally, I have a bio break. Yeah. So, this is really, really great. I was once at a company where, you know, meetings would always start late. Yeah. So there would always be kind of this 5 minute, at the beginning where people would kind of start to dial in. And then later I was at another company where everything was on time. You know, when people were 2 minutes late to the meeting, they said, sorry for being late. In the other companies, that was kind of completely normal. It was everything was below 5 minutes, nobody cared about. So, but it's actually, of course, for the overall participation, quite a lot of time. So if you're always 5 minutes late,
yep,
over time, yes, that amounts to quite a lot of
time. $1,000 5 minutes, mm-hmm, cost for 20 people meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. But I mean, we said in the beginning it's kind of a typical meeting what you invited to as a statistician. So, but actually, that's one of, you know, we have to always just look at two sides of a meeting, because it's about setting it up. So it's about, you know, being the organizer and really, you know, making some, or having some ideas, thoughts about what is the goal, what is the agenda, you know, who to contribute, who to invite. That's the one thing, and it's probably the key thing. But, you know, we won't be able to follow the agenda, we won't be able to follow the meeting in time or leave the meeting after in time if the people don't prepare. So if they don't follow the rules from the meeting organizer. And I think this is something what I often realized is that, and you know, shame on me. It's also the same for me. So I just didn't have time to look into this before I went into the meeting, and there was some pre-reads.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bit late. Yeah. Sorry for that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't have time. You know, I haven't had a chance to look into. Yeah. But actually, it stands and falls together with, you know, with the people attending as well, and not only the organizer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the preparation is, of course, having a clear goal in the agenda, including any pre-reads. If you have any action items that you want to have, you know, specific people doing for before the meeting, or kind of preparing for a certain agenda point, make sure that they know about it quite in advance. So they don't find out during the meeting. Oh, Paul, can we give an update on XYZ? Oh, what are you talking about? Yeah.
So, yeah, there are other. I think we had an episode of the pre-wiring the meeting, right? Isn't it quite a while ago? And I think this is kind of linking into this, where, you know, as an organizer of a meeting, it's not only about the agenda; it's really about doing some homework before you.
Starts. Mm-hmm. So, and then let's go into the conduct of the meeting. So, I think it's really important at the start of the meeting to always kind of frame the meeting. Yeah, to make sure everybody understands what you want to achieve today and where this is coming from. You can make this bigger or smaller depending on the participants. Yeah, so if you're just having a follow-up meeting to further discuss the SAP, well, you probably don't need a lot of framing. But if there's kind of a new topic and you have people, maybe more senior people that are coming to the meeting, then it's always important to kind of frame the meeting. Where is this coming from? What is the problem? What do you want to achieve? And especially if you have a meeting where you want to get some more senior people to agree on it, buy into something or whatsoever. Always kind of frame at the beginning and say, this meeting is intended to inform you on that. This meeting is intended to present you a couple options on this problem, and in the end, we want to make a recommendation. This meeting is intended for you to whatsoever. Yeah. So that's really, really important.
It is. Make sure that the people that you would like to take along with the meeting are already in the meeting. That's something that I did once, where I did this this goal setting and the framing, and actually after I was done, then people seemed to join. So, it sounds funny. It was quite embarrassing because I was kind of referring back to this at the end. And so anyway, make sure that the right people are there. If not, don't wait for them too long. I mean, 2 minutes is fine, but usually we should really start on time. But then just repeat it. So if people are joining late, then you just, make a little break saying just, thanks for joining. And I just set the goal for this one to achieve this and this, and, kind of go back to it again and repeat yourself. But, make sure that you have the right people listening to why they're joining the meeting.
Yeah. Then during the meeting, I don't know about you, but there's always kind of the people that come up with some niche topics, some topics that are kind of astray from the goals, that, you get too much into the details, or people get completely off topic and want to discuss something completely different that is on their mind. And by chance, there's a couple of people in this room or in this virtual room that could help them with their topic, and then say, take over the meeting nearly. Yeah. So have you been in those situations?
Yeah, I have. And that's what I just mentioned a few minutes ago, is that you assign somebody to keep an eye on the time, on the topic, and on the agenda.
Yeah.
So basically, we have somebody serious assigned, like somebody senior assigned to push back and say, that's not the topic today. Let's take this apart and we can follow up later, whatsoever. Really to say, sorry, no, but the goal here is, and go back on track.
Yeah. And this, what I really love about is this invention of a parking lot. Yeah. So you say, we put that into the parking lot and revisit it later. Great. You have it captured, it's not forgotten, and you can move on with the original goal of the meeting.
Put this in the minutes. Yeah.
There's one other thing is, I have been in lots of meetings where there's just a few people talking all the time, and some people never get a word in between. What do you do in these situations?
I know these meetings. And it's even for people sometimes difficult to get a word that are usually not very quiet. I would probably just talk to people that I would like to hear about.
Yeah.
I would ask them directly and involve them into the welcome their thoughts for a specific topic, for a specific agenda item or discussion point that we are currently on, and just directly approach them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also kind of try to, I'm not sure what the right word is, but cut off those people that kind of go on and on and on. Yeah, so politely, but in a nice way, signal to them that, you want to hear also some other opinions and in order to kind of keep the time, get to the point. Yeah.
That's trickier.
Yeah, I think that's tricky. Yes, that's really tricky. Yeah. But I think sometimes that is absolutely needed. I was once in a meeting where there was a physician from a culture where they were kind of keep talking and talking and talking and talking, and he was starting to repeat himself over and over and over, because he was kind of accepting or expecting that somebody is interrupting him. Yeah, because that was just in his culture that, you know, he would just go on talking until he gets interrupted. And so in that culture, it was completely okay to be interrupted. Yeah. Otherwise, he just keeps on talking. Yeah. And we had once a meeting with, you know, two Germans and this physician, and he kept on talking for literally 50 minutes of this 1 hour meeting until we realized we just need to break into him. Was no point. Yeah. So that's really important to kind of, both manage those that talk too much and manage those that don't say enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is one of the learnings that, I mean, this is something that you need to prepare. You need to maybe, you know, if you do a meeting like in a, let's say with more responsibility, you are starting with more responsibility and being more responsible for the meeting itself and setting it up as an organizer, then make yourself some notes beside your personal meeting agenda. You know, write down and say, you know, just the points that we discussed, or some of them at least. So where you say, interrupt them, you know, talk to quiet people, just go in there. Just because, you know, sometimes you're following the flow, or it's what you know, I experience myself sometimes. You just say, okay, no, it's going. Yeah, no, it's running. It's fine. So, and you just let it be, and you don't talk. But no, remember that the points that we discussed is really for everyone to experience a very valuable meeting. Not only for you to get the goal, but also for the people attending. And then, interrupt or ask or, you know, That's quite important. Yeah.
Always have this kind of meta level in line, terms of meeting participation. Okay, another important topic is minutes. Yeah, so taking action items, all these kind of different things, what's discussed. It's really important to have that organized from the start. Who takes the minutes, and also be clear on what kind of form you want the minutes to be, whether it's kind of discussion of all the content or whether you just take the action items. That's fine, but you just need to be clear on that. And one of my, really, really effective tools, not sure, maybe it's secret, maybe it's, you know, easy, maybe lots of people do it, but what I found is really effective if having these meeting minutes that kind of are typed on the fly on the big screen or on the screen that's shared within a virtual meeting, because then directly it's very crisp and clear to everybody what's really the action item, who's responsible for it, and by when. And everybody directly sees if there is some discussion going on when there's no action item. Yeah. Maybe that's worse because, you know, you just want to have a kind of a brainstorming or whatsoever and get some opinions. But even then, you should see that in the minutes being reflected.
Yeah, I think one very easy way of doing this is to open up the agenda and just type along the agenda. Just keep a column next to the agenda and just move on, like having the agenda and the minutes in one way. So this could be either one. So it could be you as an organizer, or could be as an attendee, whoever's assigned to it to do this. Yeah, and there's other, I saw that as well. The very fancy ways of doing it now with all the online technologies is to have a, like a separate, you know, somebody writing online and having this as in a separate window open. So regardless whether there's a presentation or something, there's still, you know, the typing is in a split window scene. So that was quite impressive. I think that's a very good idea to have this live, ongoing, and for everyone visible. So also somebody can jump in. yeah. and say, you know, that's something, you know, I know I didn't see. It could be, you know, we had this point or, you know, missed something. Because for just for myself, you know, I'm quite bad in taking minutes, to be honest. So it's because, you know, if I don't write it down, I usually forget some of the points in between. So, and if I write, then I, you know, I'm, so it's, there are people that are definitely better than I to take the minutes. So that's why, you know, if you don't feel comfortable to do this while you're organizing the meeting or while you're mentoring them or running the meeting and leading the meeting and doing the minutes all together, then assign somebody.
Yeah.
Check. The best is to check beforehand, actually, yeah. to with somebody to do it.
To be honest, if I'm concentrating on running the meeting, I can't take notes. Usually, yeah. so unless it's a really small meeting, so if it's just a meeting of three together, yes, then that's fine. But if it's a little bit of a bigger meeting, then I would like to have the moderator or the leader of the meeting not taking notes. That's I think is really important. So we talked a lot about meetings, and of course, in this special situation where pretty much everybody works from home. Or even those that go into the office, dial into the meetings virtually because meeting rooms are closed. The virtual meetings have some further challenges. And we don't want to go into too much detail here, but one thing that we always are repeating is...
Turn the video on.
Yes, turn the video on. Turn the video on. And yeah, set this expectation beforehand that everybody can turn their video on. Because then people can't come up with an excuse and say, oh, I haven't been dressed appropriately, or I don't know, I can't find my camera, or whatever. Yeah, so it's just a very different meeting if everybody sees each other. So I can highly recommend that. Yeah,
yeah, and there we could do a whole episode about how to use a video camera, about you know, where to put this, where do the lights and everything. So really, there are so many pitfalls, but still, it's in any way, it's such a nice gesture for everyone to, you know, see the smile. I mean, you can listen to a smile, but you can also see it. It's much better, and you see. And also, if you have a little tiny bit of a you know, private atmosphere behind you on the wall, if there's a, you know, if you look in my background, there's my there I have some wine bottles. So this is, you could see if you do a video conference with me. So that's just a personal insight, like a tiny bit of a personal insight, which makes it so much more
relatable,
nicer, relatable, to work with the people. So that's why it's just highly recommended for everyone to use video, the video possibilities that you have. I mean, if you don't have it, then you don't have it, but it's just... Yeah.
One last question. What do you do if you get, you know, on these meetings and these kind of steps are constantly kind of ignored? Yeah. So you always get an invite to a meeting and you don't get an agenda and there's no pre-read and people don't take minutes and there's no kind of clear action items. What do you do?
To be honest, what I did lately, because I just had many meetings anyway, is just to cancel them. You know, if I don't have the feeling that the people are, you know, if there's something, you know, I don't know what to do. It's just foreseeable waste of time, depending on who invited me. But in general, I just declined, said that's, you know... please let me know what the agenda is, or what is the, and otherwise, you know, I'm happy to join, but let me know what the purpose of this meeting is or something. So,
and you can always say, well, there's, I have a clash, maybe even with some kind of other things that you need to do during the time. Yeah. So you don't need to say I have a clash with another meeting. It's just a clash with your other deliverables that you need to work on, and say, you know, I, There's a limited time I have. Can you please explain me how I need to prioritize this meeting?
Yeah, I think if it's the first meeting, I would probably not decline it. So if you had the experience that it was a waste of time, then that's again referring back to one of our episodes is to say no, because it's seriously. I mean, we are. We spend so many time in meetings, which is just a waste of time. And therefore, it's foreseeable that there's no goal, that there's no agenda, that there's nothing that you can contribute, or, then just decline with a good reason. I mean, with an honest and serious reason, saying, if there's anything for you, please, call me, please, let me know afterwards, and I'm happy to follow up. Yeah. That's much better than. Yeah.
And if you have a meeting that you need to attend, and that's, where in principle you can contribute, but that's just not well run, one thing is to ask questions during the meeting. Yeah. So ask a question, okay, what's the action item here? If there's no action item, or when people just kind of, it's not clear who's really doing that. Yeah. So just say, is that something I need to do, or who is following up on that? Yeah. Or when there's no timeline, when does this need to be finalized by? Yeah. So just these kind of little questions can help improve the meeting overall really, really very much. And also if people constantly ignore time, and maybe your agenda items are always the last on the agenda, and
typical for studies.
Then say, maybe we can have a separate meeting for this agenda item, if it always falls over, and come up with other solutions. Have discussions with the meeting organizer to get to some better ways of running the meeting.
That's an excellent idea, but be careful, because sometimes it's not well received if you kind of jump into too much, and this kind of feels like if you ask the questions.
Pick your battles. Okay, so that was, I think, a really, really nice episode about meetings, how not to run them, how to run them, when to attend, who to attend, how long to attend, what to do during the meeting, and actually, of course, what to do after the meeting in terms of following up on it, everything. Yeah, so that's of course, one of the key things that people get the minutes and also follow up on the action items. So, Benjamin, any last words on this quite important topic?
Yeah, we planned 41 minutes. I think we are very well in time, so let's close it for today.
Follow our own agenda. Yeah, okay, very good. Thanks so much.
Bye.
The show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background, and thank you for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes and learn more about our podcast to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector. Please remember to tell your colleagues about this, because it would be really awesome if as many people as possible have advantages from this podcast. Like always, reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.